Good morning, everyone. Buying something and assembling it yourself may save money, but does it also add value in the sense that your relationship to the object is somehow more deep, more valuable? Is there added value to doing it yourself? Is DIY a prescription in these hard economic times? Our friend Dan Ariely is going to bring us that story this hour, but we want to hear your triumphs and tragedies in the DIY world. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org. IKEA horror stories and joys. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. So President Obama is going to sign the $787 billion stimulus bill in Denver tomorrow. But even before the money starts flowing out, it's expected to set off a lot of fights between governors and legislators in state capitals and city halls, but especially between state governments and the federal government. The money that was taken out of the bill could have gone to close the fiscal gap in states around the United States, which suggests that in theory, maybe you get your tax relief from the federal government, but already states are talking about raising taxes to make up for their own fiscal problems. Joining us to talk about the fight between states and the federal government as stimulus gets spent in the United States is Monica Davey, Chicago bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. She joins us from Chicago. Monica, thanks for joining us.
Glad to do it.
I mean, already in New York, you have the prospect of higher taxes to cover a budget shortfall in New York. But this battle is much more political, state to state, project to project. What did the states lose here? And what do they think they can get back by a political battle?
Well, I think what they're looking at is, in many ways, this money has already been, much of the money has already sort of decided where it's going to go. So there's, in many ways, there isn't all that much to fight about. But then on some other levels, looking at road projects, bridge projects, and so forth, the states have a lot of decisions to make, and they're all lining up with lists, and I suspect that those lists are going to be far longer than the number of dollars there is to spend.
So if you're a governor around the United States and you look at this stimulus package and see what was taken out of it, I mean, really anything that involved discretionary funds that went to the governors where they could decide where to deploy it, you know, aside from the infrastructure projects you referred to a moment ago, all that was taken out. Does that play as a slap in the face to governors around the United States and that the federal government doesn't trust them with the money from the federal treasury?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure that all of them look at it that way. I think that they do have some decisions to make here. Again, even on the flows of money that are going to certain areas, local governments and states are still going to have some decisions to make. And even when it comes to things like Medicaid dollars, education dollars, they still get to make those individual decisions about where that money goes. So I'm not sure we could say in a blanket way what all the governors thought of the final bill, but I think that you're looking at states, it's important to remember, that are, for the most part, struggling with enormous deficits and facing, writing a new budget and trying to figure out what to do. So I think that much of this money is really welcome to them at this point.
Is there any sort of federal guideline as to how the decision will be made, whether, say, in New Jersey, a particular bridge is repaired or a new project is begun in a place like South Carolina?
There are rules, of course, about whether a project is considered shovel-ready. So, in other words, you can't dream up a project today that you'd like to build and not have the engineering done, not be ready to go ahead and build it. So, really, the projects that are already sort of lined up and ready to go are the ones that are going to get priority here. But again, in many states, there are a lot of those projects. So, people have to decide which win and which lose.
Now, South Carolina's Governor Mark Sanford says he's going to refuse the money. You talked a moment ago about certain federal guidelines for spending. The suggestion in South Carolina is that it would cost more for that state to actually take the money and use it for infrastructure projects than to try to go it alone. Is he unique in his response to this stimulus package?
I think it's an interesting problem for the governors who oppose elements of this stimulus plan. On the one hand, they have philosophical and practical reasons why they are against it. On the other hand, I think it's a tough political road to go down to turn away this money. So I don't think he's alone, but I think he's got a difficult road ahead here.
I mean, in a sense, the GOP governors can't do what the House and Senate did, and that was, you know, walk away from this completely and make it a Democrat-only proposal. They're much more under pressure to actually take this money. Is there a particular governor who's really pressured to take it based on the Republican governor, based on the economic climate in their state?
Well, I think if you look at the economic climate in most states, there's a lot of pressure to take any help that anyone can get. I know there are a few states that aren't in such dire trouble, but in many states with Republican and Democratic governors, the budgets simply look too bad. And I think, again, it's a politically difficult thing to do, to walk away from this money when residents understand that they're facing major cuts from services, deficits, the potential of raising taxes. I think that it's tough to walk away from federal money when other states won't.
Well, it's certainly a dilemma for Republican governors, and there are plenty of political battles ahead, even for Democratic governors, attempting to get the most from the stimulus money, which starts its way to states and localities after the signing of the bill expected on Tuesday. Monica Davey, Chicago bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, joined us from Chicago. Thank you, Monica.
My pleasure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.